B-Pod Studios.
Bill, one of the mantras we've heard coming out of the locker room and from players over the years is football season starts after Thanksgiving. Is this team coming together in this sort of win, sort of establish where you want to be heading down the stretch towards the final months?
Yeah, I don't know. Play Buffalo on Monday night, we'll see. Eight games isn't enough to clinch anything or win anything, so we got a long way to go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Bill Belichick post-game yesterday after the Patriots win over the Tennessee Titans, and that will take up the bulk of what is a pretty massive re-entry Monday coming off of the Thanksgiving holiday. Hope everyone had a happy and healthy one.
It's huge.
Maz and Murray, how you guys doing?
Good, you?
Good.
Thank you so much. What's huge, Maz?
The re-entry.
Yes, huge re-entry.
Huge.
Huge.
Sound a little hoarse there, Maz. You all right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Grinding a little bit.
It's a big re-entry Monday. But that was a good win for the...
What?
Was someone saying something there?
No, nobody was saying anything. Hold on, your freaking headphones.
I put on my headphones. Sorry.
Christ.
Was that a good win for the Patriots yesterday?
Murray, would you like to go first, my friend?
Who wants to begin the...
I'll go first.
Who wants to begin the bitching?
Three-quarter credit. Three-quarter credit. I'll tell you why. Three-quarter credit. I will give the offense full credit. Okay, you went up against something closely representing Tennessee's full defense. So I know they had a few linebackers out, but they still had the majority of their defense. I give you full credit on offense for the game.
So I did.
On the defensive side of the ball, I give you half credit.
So the Patriots offensively receive full credit.
Full credit on offense, half credit on defense is three-quarter credit.
So that and you don't even consider the kicking game, the special teams, and things like that?
No, I'll play that one straight up. That's fine.
Fine.
So three-quarter credit. You get half credit on defense because that team they put out there was like with freaking Waltham High circa 1985. That was a horrendous offense that Tennessee put on the field yesterday, and you still gave up at 270 yards rushing, whatever the final number was.
How many points is it?
13.
Okay, go ahead.
So, but again, I give you three. I'm starting to feel about this season. How everybody keeps saying, yeah, it's like 0-1 all over again. Yeah, it's like it reminds me of 0-1, Felga. You know what it reminds me of, Murray? You want to know? 2011. You remember that year they played one long succession of suck bag backup quarterbacks?
Yep.
Do you remember? Every week, another bum was behind center for the other team. And what was a flawed Patriots team made it to the Super Bowl. They needed a little luck, and they needed other teams to be complicit. They needed Billy Cundiff to miss a 32-yard field goal, which, again, I watched recently.
Oh, I remember.
It was so bad a miss, it's not even funny. I didn't think it was possible to miss a kick from 32 yards from that distance, but I digress.
Brady wretched in that game, too.
The point being that you got a lot of breaks in terms of rosters along the way. So I can't give them full credit for that game yesterday with Tennessee's roster in the shape it was in. But it was a good win.
Yeah, I mean, as I correctly predicted before the holiday break, it was going to be another laugher. I declared them winners of six straight last Wednesday, and I'm right today. Like, it was a blowout. And so I heard you last night, and I know you want to get into this today. Mike, you think it was, like, playoff-esque? I mean,
yeah.
I give Tennessee credit for showing up in that first half, but you knew they were going to end up crapping themselves somehow. At least I did. Whether it's Tannehill missing wide-open wide receivers, throwing an interception, them putting the ball on the ground, like, five times or whatever the hell it was, that game ended up being what I thought it would be, kind of a blowout. And so that first half, more competitive than I thought it was going to be. The second half, more indicative of what I thought it was going to be.
Don't you think the game was closer than the score would indicate?
Yeah. No.
I do.
I don't.
It definitely was.
Yeah, I do.
Why don't you think it was, Murray?
Yeah, I think Tennessee was complicit in their own demise. That's why. Like, that second half is what I thought the whole game was going to be. So this is why. So if you're going to ask that question like that we ask week in, week out on Mondays, full credit, partial credit? Partial credit. Because Tennessee was complicit in that game yesterday in the result.
Oh, full credit. Full credit.
Ugh.
Come on.
You give up that many yards on the ground. Sorry. No, the defense now has a flaw. We knew that anyway, but no one was really running against them during this winning streak. So that's been a little bit exposed. I know we'll get into the quarterback, but the quarterback yesterday,
Full credit. Good game. Good win. Tells you more about the team than you knew going into it. At Tennessee, of course, is all banged up. I get it. But the DNA of the Tennessee Titans, you have to admit, is they have good bones, DNA. They are a tough, they are a resilient team. They don't give up. They keep coming at you, and they kept coming at you in that game. They kept coming in you at you in that game, and you answered every time or stood up every time and outlasted them. And that should show you something and tell you something about this Patriots team. And they did it now in late November with the weather turning against a good team and a good coach. And come on, going into the game, where did Tennessee rank in the AFC?
First.
Yeah, well, number one. They were the first seed.
Okay, how many running backs were they missing?
So
how many receivers are they missing?
Who cares about the running backs?
It was a two-part question. How many receivers and running backs are they missing?
Yeah, and when your quarterback is Ryan Tannehill, a.k.a. off-brand Matt Ryan, you need all help you can get.
Five skill players. Five. They were missing five. There was no one to cover, no one that could really break the game open, unless your run defense sucks so bad that you let a guy run 68 yards at the end of the half.
So you're really not impressed? Forget credit, half credit,
full
credit.
I'm not impressed by the defense.
No, me
either. Are you impressed? No, just overall. Were you impressed by yesterday?
No.
617-779-0985. I think you guys are being too hard.
No, it was what I expected. So credit there. They did what I thought they were going to do.
Was Tennessee ever a threat to,
yes,
to throw the ball in that game?
That wasn't nice.
No, because the answer is no.
I have an answer. It's Monday. We're just getting started. It didn't come out clean. That was not me hemming and hawing. Yes, Tannehill started the game 8 for 8, Maz.
Ooh.
He started the game 8 for 8. So what do you mean?
Were they 4-yard passes?
No, and he missed a couple, of course. He missed an easy touchdown there in the first half. So the threat was there.
Yeah, not really, though.
And there was some combination of you making a few plays back there, them being depleted, and Ryan Tannehill not being great. But so what? That's the league. Do you want them to face a team that doesn't exist? Like, do we have to go back into a time machine and pull out teams from previous years for you to be satisfied? What are you going to do? This is the league. Tennessee's one of the best teams in the league. They have been wire to wire.
I would like them to face a healthy team,
yeah,
is what I would like them to face.
You're not going
to
get it.
Yeah.
Okay, why
I'm
not?
I'm going to have to wait
it
until
doesn't
the
exist.
I'm going to have to wait until the AFC Championship game when they play the Chiefs.
Is Buffalo reasonably healthy?
No.
Now that they lost Tre'Davious White, no.
Okay,
no.
But that team's healthy enough.
They just lost their best defensive player.
Okay, but nobody's going to be 100%. I'm
right,
not telling you 100%. Yeah, but Mike, there is a difference though between 100% and what Tennessee went in with at skill positions in that game. They were without their five best skill players. Five!
Well, but the running backs, I mean, come on.
But in their case, the running back's the centerpiece of the offense.
Well, but if you tell me he holds on to the ball, fine. But what if they had their starting running backs, are they going to gain more than 7 yards of carry on the ground, which is what they did? That's what they were going to produce? Like, that's sort of an example of the running back just being overrated. I mean, I love Derrick Henry. I think he's the most entertaining running back to watch in the league. I love him.
You don't have to worry about him being a fumble waiting to happen, though.
And he probably holds on to the ball. I mean, so that, I grant you that. But the holes were there, and whoever they had back there exploited the holes and got the yards. The difference is they just didn't hang on to the ball at the end, which is a big difference. I'll grant you that. So, I mean, Tennessee had what they needed on the ground, short of ball security. I don't know. I just thought Tennessee was, for the most part, game, ready to go, you know, unless you had made the plays that you made, including Mac Jones, Murray.
You thought he was good yesterday?
Yes, I do think he was good yesterday. Okay. I do think he was good.
C. That's my grade. C.
I don't go that low. I give him a B.
I mean, which isn't to say perfect, which isn't to say that he made every throw. No one's saying that. But
I loved that series where he basically threw a lateral that they should have challenged but didn't. Then he followed that with a forced ball to Jonnu Smith that should have been a pick six. And then he ran for 8 yards and got up and signaled a first down. That was Brady-esque,
okay,
right there.
So you can't have a bad series but have a good game?
I didn't think, again, I think he missed some throws deep. The one he connected on, the big first down to Jacoby Myers, probably should have been picked if you go back and look at it again. I thought he was just okay. He's meh.
I mean,
you are
giving him treatment you give no other quarterback that you like.
Well, I'm pushing back because people want to say this is Brady 2.0. So if you're going to go that extreme, well, I have to dig
in.
I'm not doing that.
I'm saying, did he play good? I'm not doing that. Don't make a Jones noise at me.
B.
I'm not doing that. I think the Brady thing's stupid. I'm not going there. I'm just saying he played well. He played good.
playoff win, Mac Jones the best. That's what I'm hearing here in the first time.
Oh, yeah, see, because you're all still messed up in the head. You're still Murray stuck is. In the Blunami.
Not me.
You're just stuck in that freaking that Twitter cyclone. Come off of Twitter. We're not on Twitter today, Murray.
I'm not. Let's just purposely stay away from it during games.
Let's have a conversation like we're normal people.
Yeah, I am. Mike, he was just okay yesterday. And now the national narrative will continue that this guy is like the second coming of Tom Brady.
Yeah, now you're going to say, I'm not responsible for a national narrative.
I told you, I gave him full credit. I gave the offense full credit.
I'm not responsible for Tom Brady 2.0, any of that. I'm telling you, he played well.
It's the defense. I don't give credit.
He was good. He was good. I don't know what you want. I mean, his quarterback rating was good. He threw for over 300 yards.
Oh, with screens and Kendrick Bourne with yards after catch to pad those stats, too. 311. Ooh. Oh, those were real.
But that happened here week after week after week. And I'm not saying that he's Brady. I'm just saying that's kind of the offense, too.
I know.
That's what the offense is.
But this is, again, like people want to come at you with the yards. Oh, the 300 yards. I mean, were they really being thrown downfield?
I mean, I frankly, I don't care about the yards. I'm just trying to give you some sort of, I'm just trying to quantify in some way, shape, or form to say that he was good.
Yeah, they scored 36 points. I have no problem with the offense yesterday.
I mean, how could you?
I don't.
You like him?
I have no problem with the offense
because Murray still. He's just. Murray, you're not trapped, and I'm stuttering because it's Monday. Murray, you're not, and I'm stuttering because I stutter all the time. I don't know how to speak. Don't make fun of me, Murray.
I wasn't making fun of you for stuttering,
Murray.
Mike,
I was making fun of you for not having an answer.
We're not on Twitter.
Nor am I right now. I'm trying to have a conversation with you. You were okay with how that offense performed in the red zone yesterday?
No, of course not. Of course not. So I've got some second guesses. And I got some things to pick at, for sure, which I will. And we will. That'll be the bulk of the show. But were they good? They were good. Was that a good win? That was a good win. Was that a quality opponent? Yes, it was. And I'm sorry that the league sucks. I'm sorry that there's not as many good teams as there are or used to be or should be. And those things are beyond your control. In today's NFL, that was a good team. That was the number one seed in the conference. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I told you. I give them full credit on offense. I can even live with the field goals. I can live with that in that kind of game. I thought that game was going to be under yesterday. Okay, it was over-under was 43. I thought it was going to be a slugfest. I expected a 17-16, 20-17 kind of game. The Patriots blew it open. But you know what I was right about? That Tennessee wouldn't be able to score because they didn't have any skill players. There was nobody to challenge the Patriots defensively in the pass game. Nobody. All they had to do was defend the run, and they couldn't even do that. But that's aside. I almost think they half wanted to give that up. They just didn't want to give up any easy drives, and they were going to make them run down the field and use 12 minutes off the clock. Like, that's what they were going to do. But there was nobody for Tannehill to throw to. They had 93 yards passing. Okay. Tennessee.
And Mez, I don't care that you bet the wrong side because no one knows what's going to happen. So
I didn't bet it.
I'm not blaming you for this, but you picked Tennessee when we last convened. Okay? So if you had Tennessee, knowing everything that you knew, there were no surprises in their lineup, and the Patriots blow them out, shouldn't you come out of the game and go, oh, that actually showed me something? Because you were expecting the other thing.
I did come out of that, half of it, saying they showed me something.
Half.
The offense. I give the offense credit. The defense, I give very little credit.
13 points.
I give them very little credit.
Okay. You know, I can be an a-hole. I can be a douchebag. I can be a contrarian. Blah, blah, blah. I'm generally fair. I'd like to think that for the most part, I'm fair. You guys are not being fair.
Oh, I'm very fair.
I think it sounds like you want to go back on the boat.
617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bolden to the left of Jones, leans over that left leg, takes the snap barehanded. He's in the pocket. He throws a lot down the right side. Right up and Henley missed him. Overshot him by a stride and a half.
Oh, my God. All right, he's got to put that one behind him. Not his sharpest day by any means.
What a call by McDaniels to free up Henry on an in and out back to the right. He was open by 6 yards. Jones missed him by about three.
The Hunter play, I just didn't throw the right pass. We were on the same page in terms of what he was doing, and I got to get him the ball. I could have punted it to the guy, so just get it there somehow, and I wish I had that back. But I had plenty of time in the pocket with the line, doing a great job. So that's on me. And then
was Mac Jones' big miss and his response to it after the game. More concerned with his response in the game, and not that he was perfect. But he still played winning football on balance before that mistake, after that mistake. And I think you got to come away feeling good about him. I'm sorry, you do. You liked his answer there, Mez?
I do, because just the line about I got to punt it to him, for crying out loud. He was that open. I mean, he was so open it wasn't funny. And it's, you know, to me, that was when you just went, oh, my gosh, how'd you miss him? You know, it wasn't even a long throw, really.
Okay, calls as promised. Tommy and Lynn, go.
What's up, boys? All right, this is what I got to say. Yesterday, Maz, we give the team full credit. Full credit, Maz, because they played good. Yeah, they didn't have their full team. They didn't have no Derrick Henry, no Julio Jones, no A.J. Brown. But I give this team full credit. Moving on now. Let's keep it rolling.
Okay, Tommy.
Buffalo.
Okay, full credit. Tommy, did you take care of the turkeys in your yard this weekend?
Yes, and I want to know how you guys' holidays. I hope you guys had a nice holiday. Happy.
All right. Okay, happy. Yeah, it was good. It was fine. It was good. Now we're back at it. We'll get to Buffalo in due time. I know it's going to sound silly, but I think Tennessee showed up. And I think they played well. They put the ball on the ground.
For 30 minutes.
Okay, but to me, I think up and down the field, they gave you a game. They gave you, they came at you, they matched you, you had to go back and forth, you had to stand up to them or answer them, as the case may be. And they're no slouch, even with all those injuries. And so I think that showed me something. You disagree.
Yep.
Pete in the car, go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm totally on board with Felger. Maz, I think there's a point to be made about the run defense, whatever, you're in the middle. I think that's fine. But Murray, it's like, you're giving Mac Jones a C. I think we're losing sight of what the guy's job is. His job isn't to go out and throw for 400 yards, maybe 90% completion percentage instead of 70. That's not this team. They're a smash-mouth football team. All he has to do is provide a score or two, not make the big mistake, keep the ball moving. Win the field position battle. How do you give the guy a C when he checks all those boxes for what his role is on the team?
How does Murray give him a C? Pete, I think you know the answer.
So then talk about him as a game manager then. Because it's starting, again, the narrative around Mac Jones is, and look, he is great for a rookie. The first score, the touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne, the little fade, was awesome.
Great throw.
And his best attribute is his toughness. That, like, is no joke. The kid's kind of a psycho. I think it was on that first scoring drive. He got hit high-low that... Most quarterbacks are like, oh, Jesus, like that guy's going to get carted off the field. He got up right, like, I think it was nothing. He takes a lot of big hits. But I still think he was just meh yesterday. He got away with a few balls that probably should have been picked off. That overthrow of Henry, I don't know how you don't look at that and say, like, oh, boy, like, I hope I don't see that in the future in the playoffs. Like, that's a bad miss.
Okay, happens.
And C is passing. We're not a D, it's not an F, it's a C.
Okay, Murray, I think Josh McDaniels got in his way early in the game. So they scored a touchdown on their first drive. Their second drive, go look at it. They threw all the way down the field. Yeah, pass, all the way down the field. Then I think they got first and goal right around the 10, 11-yard line, two runs. Now they're third and goal, and he didn't do well on that. He didn't show well on that third down. I think he missed Hunter Henry on that one. But once again, I think that Josh got in his way a little bit in some of these red zone situations. I think they tightened up. I think they got conservative in the red zone, which worked against them. And I think this is kind of by design. Maybe they knew, you know, or this was their approach. Ryan Tannehill with nothing to throw to. We're not gonna take any chances here. But you know, first and goal at the 8 after 4 straight passes get you down there, and you run twice. Now you're third and goal at the 4. And you've sort of got to have it play, and you don't have it. And I think that sort of slowed their momentum a little bit.
Yeah, look, again, I didn't have a huge problem with Jones' game. Again, I thought he was pretty good. The throw on the Henry play was awful. you know, to me, it was a B type of performance. You look at the rating and you'd say, wow, 123, I think the number was, or something like that. And you say, wow, he was great. He wasn't great. He also, there was a pick six that he should have had, you know, that he should have thrown, that he got lucky on because the, I don't remember if it was a linebacker.
It was a linebacker.
He dropped the ball.
I think people are overstating that.
That was a bad pass.
Could have been intercepted. Not a great pass. Could have.
Should have.
Could have is not should have or in the breadbasket.
It was a bad pass.
Go back. It wasn't a good pass. But it's not like it was an automatic pick six that the guy blew. It would have been a hard play, a tough play for a linebacker to make. Fully outstretched, fingertip kind of catch to then collect and run it 85 yards the other way. I think you're overstating it. I think you're overstating it if you're saying that should have been a pick six.
It was a bad throw.
Sure.
All right, then he gets down to the 20.
So look, but aside from that, I didn't have a big problem. I thought you were going to have trouble punching it in the end zone against Tennessee. That's a good team.
Tony and
Stoneham.
They're
well coached.
Tony and Stoneham, go.
Guys, how are you? I got to tell you something. You just can't accept reality. This guy, the quarterback, is the best rookie quarterback playing this year. The team is killing everybody with their defense. You're saying the other team isn't doing this, isn't doing that. It's because of the Patriots' defense. The defense is killing the other teams.
Okay, Tony, thanks for the call. Be well. Murray, the fact that this defense is doing this against everybody doesn't, you know, you don't factor that into yesterday?
Well, again, look how beat up the Titans were.
No,
they were
without
their five skill position players.
Okay, fine.
So I have to take it with a grain of salt.
But they did it the week before, and the week before that,
yeah,
and the week before that, and the week before that. I bet you if, and again, I'm going to draw the line creatively, but I bet over the last 2 months they've allowed the fewest points in the league.
Yeah,
I don't doubt guess it. Or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
And I give them full credit for that game against the Browns where they were at that spot. Like, they were awesome. No, they've been good. But other than that, they've played a lot of crap teams.
Hey, look, I like the way they're playing. I'm just telling you, they've had an unbelievable run here in terms of catching teams that are missing key guys. It's like, it's unbelievable. You know, I mean, no Brown, no, who's the running back? Henry, no.
Julio Jones.
Yeah, all of them. They missed them all.
John in the car. Go, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Two things. J.C. Jackson really impressed me because I thought he was just right place, right time. That fumble was really impressive. And two, Murray, I'm going to blah you because you said they wouldn't be 8-4 going to Buffalo, like when I said it 5 weeks ago. So, blah.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't understand anything he said other than the blah and a Buffalo thing in there.
The J.C. Jackson play on the fumble was the best defensive play of the game.
Absolutely.
Like, to me, that was the play. And that was the play that turned the game. I mean, I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know. Tennessee at that point is within striking distance. They're moving down the field. Guy runs for 30 yards. Jackson comes over and punches that sucker right out of there. That was a legit forced fumble. This is the kind of crap they weren't doing early in the year.
Godchild play, not a legit forced fumble? So that was the first one? That was a Hilliard fumble?
Not like Jackson's play. You see that? How those guys are carrying the ball?
Yeah.
Those guys do not protect the football, and the Patriots knocked it out, so good for them. But I think this is part of the reason you got backup players in there. They don't protect the ball.
But again, this is something I know we talked about it. There was a time there this season, and we'll play a cut from Belichick coming up about this very thing. They weren't forcing any fumbles.
Zero.
They're at the bottom of the league in forced fumbles, and they Bill says, of course, you know, because he's trying to take credit for it, but that they purposely addressed it and started coaching it. And here you go. Now the ball's on the ground. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't think that's a coincidence either.
No, the Jackson play is legit. That's a great play. Absolutely great play. Now, again, I thought the Titans exposed the ball, you know, but you still got to go in and get it. But that play was huge. And again, it was a good recovery, too, because Mills could have easily gone out of bounds on that play.
More your game reaction, Patriots-Titans from yesterday. We'll have a giveaway later this hour as well. First, an update from Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Belger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
The Sports Hub.
So the Patriots will line up in victory formation. And Mac Jones gives way to Brian Hoyer for the kneel down. The handshakes and the pending celebration for the Pats in their locker room as they take care of business against beleaguered Tennessee. The Titans came in, the top team in the AFC, but they'll depart with their fourth loss in 12 games, while the Patriots now have six straight wins to improve to 8-4 likewise. The Pats set up a showdown with Buffalo in Orchard Park a week from tomorrow night with their rout by a 36-13 final today.
All right, other things we loved or liked in the game, didn't like in the game. I'll give you a short list. I really liked Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne. I really liked the Patriots' complement of pass catchers and offensive skill players. I think it's going to be enough at the end of the day. I do. As I've said from day one, maybe that's why I like it, because I was never a guy that wanted Odell Beckham or anything else, or that feels you need some sort of high-end weaponry.
The more that Bourne is involved, the better that offense hums.
I agree.
Yeah, but I just think, yeah, I liked him in San Francisco. I liked him here. He's a nifty little player. Good feet, good quickness.
Good hands.
Does some of the things that I think some of the good receivers that have come through over the years here have done. He'll go over the middle. I like his game. And it's not huge or over the top or anything like that, but I think he's a good little player. And I liked him when they got him, and I've always liked Jacoby Myers. From day one, I've liked Jacoby Myers. And I think between him and Bourne, and Janu Smith even showed up in this game yesterday, and your running backs in the passing game primarily, and all of it, I think it's enough. I always thought it would be enough. It looks like it's enough. So that I like.
I mean, they were ready for Tennessee on that, because they took Hunter Henry pretty much out of that game. I mean, he really wasn't a factor. And so what did they do? They went to everybody else, including Jonnu Smith. So, he was throwing to Myers constantly. Jones was in that game. Bourne, as you said, I like Bourne a lot. He's a likable player.
All right, I did not like the Patriots' run defense or their running game. I thought they got pushed around inside on both sides of the ball. So I don't know what is to like about that. And if that continues, then I'm going to change my tune. Because it's hard to survive. I don't necessarily care about running the ball. You know that. But if you can't stop the run, you're port. You just got to be able to do that as a default setting. You just have to be able. If you can't stop the run, then teams will just take it, whether they have a good running game or back or not. And so, that's just sort of a thing you have to have. And if they sprung some leaks in there that's for real, then that's a concern. The running game, that feels like a one-off because they have run it well primarily. So I'm just going to take that as just a bad day for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's credit to Tennessee, I think. I felt like they were purposely trying to stop the Patriots' run game yesterday.
Yeah, I got frustrated by the play calling there too, because it felt to me like they kept running inside. And so they were getting pushed around on the interior of the line. And then when they started to challenge the edges a little bit more, they had some success. And it felt to me like it opened things up a little in the middle as well. But early on, anytime they tried to run into the middle, they got nothing. Nothing. And they kept doing it over and over and over again. That one frustrated me.
Okay. I think you've got to like Nick Folk and the kicking game. And I think the deeper we go in the season, this stuff that generally I spend very little time on, do special teams on your own time, unless you suck at them and then we'll rip you. But other than that, but I will say that I think the deeper this goes, the more this stuff does show up, and the colder the weather is and et cetera, the more kind of games you get in like this. The Patriots' average starting position in this game was the 41. The Tennessee average starting position was the 24. There's a lot of hidden yards in there. I think Tennessee, Ted Johnson mentioned this to me last night on TV, that Tennessee took five penalties. They were all in the kicking game. So they were constantly getting pushed back on punts and kickoffs.
The first one was brutal on that punt. Brutal. What a killer that penalty was.
So there was a bunch of those for Tennessee. And meanwhile, you're relatively clean in that spot, and your kicker makes his kick. And this is another one that blew me away. Did you realize that opposing field goal kickers have made only 60.9% of their kicks against you?
Shocker.
That number's crazy.
I mean, that is. So why do you say shocker like that?
Because, again, it's how their year's going.
It's just buzzard luck. Everything's coming up Patriots.
I mean, for 60.9% in the NFL, for that to happen, Don't they have to be complicit in their own demise?
I mean, my guess is, and again, I should look this up, but what is the average percentage on field goals across the board, all distances? My guess, it's over 80%.
Yeah, somewhere in that area.
I think that's what generally it is, 80%.
The Patriots are the outlier because it never looks panicked. That's credit to Bill and the whole operation on down. Nick Folk now is hitting 50-yard field goals like it's no issue.
Okay, but before I get to him, the opponents.
The opponents. Mike, it's always so panicky. Ah, like, hurry up out there, even if they have 25 seconds remaining on the clock. Like, it's always a mess.
Yeah, I don't care if he was kicking it with his left foot yesterday. Bullock's got to make that kick. That's an easy one. I mean, you know, it's not like that was a 60-yarder. Was it 40 yards?
44. So I think that was the key sequence in the game right there, by the way. And the situation Maz is talking about, it was Tennessee's third possession. It was the second quarter. They were trailing 10-6 at the time, okay? They were trailing 10-6. And this is when Tannehill missed the wide open number 80 for it should have been an easy touchdown. So Tannehill airmails number 80 there, Rodgers. And so Bullock there, the beefy guy, lines up for 44 yards and clangs it off the upright. So if Tannehill hits Rodgers, the Titans are leading 13-10 deep into the second quarter. And that's just, you know, instead, they miss the field goal. You go down and get a field goal on the subsequent drive, and instead of you trailing 13-10, you're up 13-6. It's a 10-point swing. I thought that was the key swing of the whole game right there, just about. I mean, Tennessee could have been playing from ahead there if Tannehill completes the pass, or if at least the guy makes a field goal, then it's 10-9, and they're kicking off instead of giving the Patriots good field position. And I think the tenor of the game changes there.
Yeah, and that came after he missed an extra point.
And he had also missed the extra point, correct. So do you think there's no commonality to the fact that, and I'm, you know, a nerd call, John, our buddy Boston Sports, if someone want to give me this, do the Patriots own the worst field goal percentage against in the NFL, or best, you know, I mean, depending on how is? Again, the number we had last night was that their opponents are making only 60.9% of their kicks, just under 61% of their kicks. When I think, did someone check, and I'm just pulling this out of my ass, so please check my math. I think generally the league average is 80%. Is there another team that has enjoyed more missed field goals against them than the New England Patriots? And if not, you don't think there's anything to it? Anything to what they're doing? I mean, if you go back and watch the Bullock miss that went off the upright, they did have someone screaming off the edge that got through, and he just got in late. But he was definitely sort of in the operation there and was definitely had to be in Bullock's eyesight. And maybe that's why he hooked it a little bit, because the guy was coming off of his right side. I don't know. You tell me. When that's week after week after week and opponents consistently miss against you, is that something you're doing special teams-wise that we just can't project? Or you just got a horseshoe shoved so far up your freaking keister that this is just happening?
B.
I knew you were going to say
but
that.
But if it's happening here, I mean, that's credit to home field advantage and people being shook by the fans and maybe looking across and seeing Belichick. No, that's got to be part of it.
Or the wind. Who was it that missed the kick early in the year that the ball sailed down at that north end when the wind pushed it to the left?
I can't remember.
There was someone they played here who missed a kick down there. And so, look, I'll allow for that. Like, not if it's in their stadium, like, there's a wind element. But otherwise, I mean, come on. The guy's hitting him off the upright. He missed an extra point off the upright, then hit a field goal off the upright. I don't care whether anyone's coming or not. 44 yards? You should be able to bend over and shoot that one out your backside between the yellow poles. Like, that's a piece of cake.
Shoot a butt dart at the thing is what you're saying, Matt?
Yes, absolutely, a butt dart. You should be able to shoot a butt dart.
All right, I think this is a consistent thing that's showing up. I think Olszewski is a good, solid returner, and they rarely make mistakes at that part of the game. And everyone else they're playing seems to be making mistakes at that part of the game. And when your average starting field position, your average start is the 41, that's a huge advantage. That's really good field position. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's buzzard luck on that one. All right, so what did you like, not like? We continue with your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mac, cold weather game today. Saw you out there, no gloves. Any special prep for today? You know, just sort of getting into the cold weather part of the season as you get used to New England?
Not really. We practice in similar conditions, and it'll just continue to get colder. So I love that we get to practice outside, and then that'll happen a lot more, and it'll be a lot colder. So, yeah.
It was cold out there, a little bit of snow. Did the elements ever bother you at any point?
No. I think, like I said, the practice helps, and that was not as bad as it's going to be, obviously. And it's a mindset thing, and Coach Belichick always tells us to get what you need on and be prepared, and then don't complain about it because it is what it is, and it's just a mindset. So obviously, like I said, it'll get worse, and we'll continue to figure it out and work through it.
Do you think weather was a factor for Jones?
Not huge, no. I mean, you know, he missed a couple of throws, but I thought all in all he handled himself pretty well under the circumstances. It was a cold day out there.
Yeah. I mean, who could know? He still completed 70% of his passes. I mean,
correct.
I don't think he looked much different or worse
than any of the other games.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so yep. I don't know if that's cold. I mean, yeah, he missed some guys. He missed some high balls. But was that the cold? I don't think so.
Who knows? But I don't think so either. I think it's just the generic ups and downs, backs and forths of a young player. Some weeks you plateau. Some weeks you do better. Some weeks you do worse. Progress is not linear. I think when it all, you know, if you take a big look at it from 10,000 feet, the arrows pointed up. He is getting better overall. If it's not exactly a series-to-series or week-to-week thing, I think overall he is. He makes some throws. He misses some throws. You can get to him from the second level. They continue to do this. I told you Vrabel would go to school on whatever that previous opponent was. Who did it? Cleveland? It's all blending together. Whoever, you know, Jones is starting to get rushed a lot from the second level.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Thank you, Atlanta. Safety blitzes, corner blitzes, things like this. The Titans did it a couple times. He stood in there on the touchdown, the first touchdown to Bourne. Corner came off the edge. I believe that was a corner. And he threw a great ball and took the hit and all of that. But, you know, he got sacked a couple times on those things as well. So that's showing up. But what did the cold have to do with it? I can't imagine it's anything.
No, I didn't see any appreciable difference in his play. I mean, so to me, that was sort of, if you were to say to me, just watching, did it look like it affected him? My answer would be no.
Back to your reaction. Anthony and Nader. Go ahead, Anthony.
The first rule in negotiating or debate is when you find out your opposition is acting like a five-year-old and put their five-year-old pants on is to just leave the room. And that's what Murray is. So I don't think there's a point anymore of going back. Answer your question. You said, what did we learn from the team? I think it's easy. I think we learned that we can move the ball through the passing game. Now, this isn't a Mac Jones oorah call. This is the run got shut down early, and they didn't have the run to open up the pass. The pass opened up the pass. And, Felger, you are also right when you said that was a close game up till halftime. Absolutely. I didn't feel comfortable more towards the end of the game when they started pulling away. But you can call it those screens, those slants, those little outs. However they got the ball up the field, they did it through the passing game, and that's how they stayed in the game.
I'm with you 100%, 100%, and it was a close game after halftime. When what's-his-face got stripped there.
Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, it was a one-score game. Now, that was just north of 10 minutes left in the third quarter, so it was early in the third quarter. But it was a 19-13 game. He had gone for 30 yards, so he got stripped on. You took over at your 37.
Correct.
So if he just hangs on to the ball there, they're first and 10 at your 40, call it, or whatever, right around there, down 6 points and on their way. So, and then after that, it's not like you scored right away. You had to punt on your next possession. You held them three and out on their next possession. And then Bourne tiptoes in on a 3rd and 6 from the 41, have you. So 3rd and 6 of the 41.
Yeah, it was a good play.
If you don't complete that ball, you're not even kicking a field goal there. So the game was definitely in the balance into the third quarter.
Yeah, it was. No, I'm not disputing that. I would also tell you that the reason you pinned them down there is because of the fumble. You took the ball over at the 40-yard line. You punted. They got the ball at like the 11 or whatever the hell it was.
That is correct.
I mean, they were way back there.
Very good.
Yeah, so, you know, you had them hemmed in there, so that turnover is huge. I also think that that's a reason why the field position numbers that you read earlier favored the Patriots, because Tennessee couldn't hold on to the effing ball. Now look again. The Patriots punched it out. J.C. Jackson punched out that ball on Foreman. That, to me, was a good defensive play. But I don't have issues with the Patriots' offense. I think overall, I expected some resistance there. They moved the ball pretty well, and they were able to pass.
And that point is true. They didn't run for squat.
No.
Until it was garbage time. I thought those running yards they gained were plastic yards.
They were.
End of the game yards.
Totally.
Before that, forget about it. They did nothing on the ground, and they did it through. And if you don't want to give Mac Jones credit because you're so freaking wrapped up in your stuff.
Murray.
I didn't say Murray.
You wanted to.
You look over. And okay, so all right.
But I will say this. Fine. If he's just dumping it off and the receivers are making plays, it nets out to the same thing. And this is what I let off that last segment by saying, I love the looks of the receivers. And I think that's a huge development. You're making plays in the passing game, whether it's the quarterback or the pass catchers. Yes, Jim.
All right, so who's that have more to do with, the pass catchers or the quarterback?
I don't care, because I'm not in your tsunami of blood. I'm not in your thing.
So the answer there is the wide receivers, because that's your eyes work. So know, let's not. So my thing is, don't make it more than it actually is. Is the kid having a phenomenal rookie season? Yes. But like with dink and dunk passes and screens, like what do you want me to say? He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I know, but you know what? I never got this argument either. This whole idea of it's a dink and dunk offense. So what?
I don't care.
Like, who cares? If the guy's open and he can pick up 11 yards, who gives a rat's ass? Take the 11. Like, if you can scheme it in a way that you're going to be able to confuse the opposition and get 11, 8 yards, 11 yards, 12 yards, and they picked up some big ones yesterday, too, albeit, you know, it was a short throw, but a lot of runs yards after the catch on the Bourne touchdown. Myers made a good block on that play.
Another couple of screens.
It's right. Like, so what?
Is anyone going to defend the screen against this team? Like, they like to screen the ball, guys.
Especially on third and like 10 and 11. You'd think that, you know, know that's coming.
Watch number 25. If he's in the game, they like to dump the ball down to him. Like, and so if teams are going to give it to you,
take it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I thought that McDaniels did do a good job of scheming some guys open, particularly Myers. They went to Myers repeatedly in the early part of that game.
Mike and Haverhill. Go ahead, Mike.
Mike, you're doing the exact same thing that I complain about other Patriots fans doing on all the time, and you're framing your argument against Mac Jones against the last 20 years that you've watched football without actually looking at what the rest of the league looks like. How many times you tune into some other game and you look at the quarterback and you're like, Jesus Christ, this guy's terrible. And you over and over again. And so, no, Mac Jones is not Tom Brady. Of course not. But I watch a lot of football games, and over again, I find myself saying, you know what? I think I'd rather have Mac Jones than this guy. Oh, I'd rather have Mac Jones than this guy. And it happens all the time.
I'll tell you right. Mike, so you're right, and I'd rather have him than Tannehill. I'd rather have him than Matt Ryan. The kid doesn't rattle. I'll give him that. And this is their best quality. They do not succumb to the stupidity and playing down to competition that runs through the rest of this league like COVID. They don't. And that's their best attribute, and that's the coaching. That's the coach. He won't allow them. Like, they show up, they do their business, they wait for the opponent to crap their pants. He won't allow them to F up that badly. And that includes the quarterback.
Okay, I don't know if that constitutes movement on the part of Murray, but
it doesn't.
Let's continue to work with it, shall we? Here comes an update, 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.